Let us pray. On your mountains of plentiful grace, with peace on your hillsides, God be with us as we listen for your word of peace, that we may indeed be instruments of your peace. Amen. Our family has a favourite place to camp in the summer. It's a remote beach camping place where you can walk on the beach entirely alone if you pick the right time of day. It has not many facilities, a couple of outdoor cold water showers. It has no mobile phone coverage and no electricity. Heaven. The campsite is under a canopy of big old banksia trees. In January 2020, the campsite was on fire. In January 2021, we returned. The sand dunes that went from the campsite down to the beach had lost all their lovely tea tree scrub and had been badly eroded by the winter waves. Some of the big old banksia trees had been completely destroyed in the fire, and others were sprouting new green shoots up their trunks and along their branches. But there was no bird song. There were no big lizards, no rock wallabies. In January 2022, this last summer, a remarkable recovery had taken place. The trees still had blackened trunks and bare branches up high, but plenty of foliage had regrown. The grasslands were green. A few larger birds, like kookaburras, had returned. And we even saw some of the big lizards, what Victorians call lace monitors, what we West Australians call bungaras. They're really, really big. I wonder what we'll find there next month when we go. The regeneration of the bush after fire always feels like a miracle. It's a visible Easter message of death and rebirth. The intensity of the green colour of the shoots against the blackened tree is always wonderful and startling. In Australia, we have known the terrible destruction of fires, and we have known what follows. The trauma, the risk assessments for rebuilding, the hesitation of insurance companies, the policy changes for emergency responses, the long, long wait for building new homes and for emotional recovery. And we have known the green shoots. The past 2 years we have not had fires, but we have had floods. And we don't have such a clear picture of what recovery after floods looks like. We have flood-resistant species of trees, like the big old river red gums that used to line the Murray River in great forests. They live for 500 to 1,000 years, and they propagate during floods. They protect their seeds in times of drought. Some are still there, but hundreds of thousands of tons of these were harvested to form a water-resistant base for the roads of Melbourne and to make railway sleepers for the British rail projects in India. Perhaps we will see their regeneration after these floods as a sign of hope that we recognise, like the green shoots on the blackened trees. The green leaf on a burned and blackened trunk, the River Red Gum regenerating after a catastrophic flood. And from today's Bible reading, a tree stump that appears old and lifeless, but produces a new shoot. Into a terrible time, new life will come. The prophet Isaiah described God's promise of new life, saying, "A shoot will sprout out from the stump of Jesse." A tree that had been not burned, not flooded, but chopped down would regenerate. In ancient Israel, the people understood that kings were appointed by God. The line of King David was a family tree that had produced monarchs for hundreds of years. In the trauma of exile, the people believed that God had brought an end to this family tree. The kings had been unfaithful to God's calling and God had cut down their tree. The promise of God in Isaiah is that the stump of this tree will regenerate. Scholars are uncertain as to why it is the stump of Jesse, David's father, and not the stump of King David himself that is mentioned in this prophecy. But the stump and its new shoot is both a political and a spiritual metaphor. God brought a line of unfaithful kings to an end, and God will provide a new king. In this new king's reign, the world will be transformed. The king will have God's own spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. The king will have a spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. We talked a couple of weeks ago about how in this king's reign, in the reign of the promised king, the shalom, the peace of God, would be present throughout the earth. Isaiah offers the wonderful, vivid images of the predators and their prey lying in peace together. The wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the kid, the lion and the fatling calf. It's likely that the animals are metaphors for warring nations, the wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the kid. So both literally and metaphorically, we have here an extraordinary image of peace. On that day, says Isaiah, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Hundreds of years later, John the Baptist announced that that day was about to arrive. Even now, he says, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Judgment is coming, but it's not the judgment people expect. The people of John's community knew the oracles and the prophecies. That when God renews the world, a herald must first come to prepare Israel and the world for renewal. So it's not surprising that people from Jerusalem and all Judea went out to him. John was wearing clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. This wasn't just the usual dress of ancient men who hung out in the wilderness. This is very specific clothing, the clothing of a prophet. And John's diet, locusts and wild honey. Is this what someone would normally forage in the desert? Maybe. But locusts appear in the Hebrew scriptures as a plague against the Egyptians when Moses is asking Pharaoh to free his people from slavery. And sometimes biblical poetry talks about foreign armies being like locusts, and those locusts representing God's judgment. John the Baptist eats them. He eats God's judgment. He eats the threat of destruction. John dips them in wild honey, the food of God's blessing in the Psalms, and he eats them. John eats that locust of judgment as a sign that new life is coming when the people turn to God. Repentance, from the word to turn around, means to think towards God. John calls for repentance. In this call, John announces the renewal of the individuals who've gathered around him and of the nation, of a people. He means for them to turn together towards God. And the people are baptized in the River Jordan as a sign of that turning. This is what John the Baptizer did to prepare the people to meet Jesus. He staked his own life on Jesus fulfilling all the hopes and dreams from the ancient prophets. John was preparing the way for Jesus, but he was also giving an instruction. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Prepare the way of the one who's bringing judgment and healing. Prepare the way of the one whose reign will bring peace between nations and even between animals. Prepare the way of the one whose life is like a green leaf bursting from a burnt and blackened trunk. Prepare the way of the one whose life is like a red gum sapling appearing along the riverbank after a flood. Prepare the way of the Lord. As we walk through the second week of Advent, we are called to prepare the way of the Lord in our own lives, as individuals and as a people. I wonder how we could bring the peace and healing and justice to our world. I wonder what turning towards God together could mean for us as we prepare to receive the birth of Christ this Christmas. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.